I truly believe that each of us can and will make a serious impact for good upon others by having a godly mother's heart, mind, disposition, attitude, so forth and so on. In fact, even the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica said the very thing. He said, "We prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us." And so I want us to think for just a moment of what a better place our world, the church, our homes, the workplace, what a better place it would be if we all had this tender heart like Paul speaks of here in this particular passage. If we all had the disposition of a mother who nurses her child, and the love and the affection and the tenderness that is there in that bonded relationship and that loving relationship, if we all had that towards one another, and not only in the church, but with all mankind, and what a better world, what a better church, what a better home, what a better place it would be if we all had this kind of affection. And so to make this application, I want us to consider Lois and Eunice this morning. Eunice was a young mother who had been raised in a godly home by her mother, Lois. And Eunice's marriage to a young man who had little to no interest in religion, as we find in the Acts account, that he was Greek. And he didn't have that interest. But what I find just overwhelmingly encouraging is the fact, even though her husband had no interest, perhaps, in religious things, it didn't stop her being the proper influence in her child's life. She continued to press forward and do what she knew that she needed to do. And so when their son came along, it fell on her to be able to be that example, and her mother, the grandmother, to nurture and to admonish and to love and to instruct Timothy in the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. I think that we can know that Lois and Eunice spent hours telling Timothy about the Old Testament stories, and reading through the Old Testament, or giving direction and instruction in the Old Testament, praying with him and perhaps praying for him and how to apply God's word to his individual life. And I think that is so important for us, even as parents, is that we're not just found reading or telling our children what to read, but how to apply. This is how you need to apply God's word to your life. And so this is what we see in the upbringing of young Timothy. But then one day, there was a man by the name of Paul who came to town, and he spoke about a man by the name of Jesus the Christ. And they listened. Lois and Eunice, they listened. And they saw Jesus, this one whom was called Jesus, was the very one who was foretold and prophesied about in all those Old Testament stories that they instructed Timothy in. And they believed. And they turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. They became Christians. And so as new believers now, they see that they need to be teaching young Timothy these very things too. And that is exactly what they did. And so what can we glean about the influence of a godly mother from their lives? Well, based on Eunice and Lois, I believe there's much for us to glean. There's a lot that could be said, but I'm going to suggest to you three things this morning. And the first of which is Eunice and Lois had a respect for Scripture. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, brothers and sisters, if you're visiting with us here this morning, do others around us sense our respect for God's word? Those who know us in this life, whether it be in the workplace, young people, whether it be at school, wherever you may be, does the world, those who are close to us and who know us, do they see the respect that we have for God's word? Do they know that we respect God's word? Or do they perceive that we could care less about the Bible? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 12 through 15, it says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And I appreciate the word desire that is presented there. That the desire to live a godly life, a desire to show that I respect God's word, the desire to put myself out there to be a light in a very darkened world, the desire to live godly tells me, and I am assured of through Scripture and inspiration, that I'm going to be persecuted by that and for that. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, however, the one who desires to live a godly life, you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. And this is Paul telling this to Timothy. You continue in what you've been taught. You continue in what you've been convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. How many of us as parents do this for our kids? I believe that we, as a majority, I pray, are doing this for our kids. How many of us can recall the scripture in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 7. How many of us think about this passage as parents and realize the importance that this passage has to play in our own individual lives? Because the truth is, not one of us should approach parenthood without knowing this passage. Having committed this passage to our heart, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Now I want you to recognize that the writer here is speaking first and foremost to you, the parent, in this passage. That we all love the Lord God. Why? Because the following points aren't going to take place unless you and I are loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." If I don't love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, with all of my being, if that is not what my life is first and foremost made up of, if that is not the precedence of God in my life, then it's going to be very difficult for me to impress upon my children how important God is. It's going to be very difficult for me to impress upon my children how much I respect the Lord my God, how much I love the Lord my God. It's going to be very difficult for me to sit down and talk about God with them as we walk by and talk about God with them, as we rise up and as we lay down and talk about God with them. Because if I'm not talking to God, and if I don't respect God, I'm not going to be talking about Him. I'm not going to be sharing them with my children the way that I ought to. No, instead, I'll leave it up to the Bible class teachers. I'll leave it up to the preacher. Or maybe I'll just pray and hope that maybe something strikes them in their life, that their faith will be what it ought to be. Because I don't want to see them lost in hell. I don't want to see them lose their faith. But you know what? I know where I'm at. I just can't do that. I'm just not going to be able to teach God to them the way that the Bible tells me to teach to them. How sad that is. That is not the godly influence that I read of in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's not the godly influence that I read of in 2 Timothy. I want you to notice with me, and I'm certain that you would agree, that these two mothers had God's word in their hearts. And the reason is because they internalized these truths in their own lives. They took God's word, they read it, they believed it, they internalized it, and they applied it to their lives. It was what they were. It is who they are. And they showed this to Timothy. This was what was impressed upon Timothy by talking about it throughout the day, by showing him the scriptures and how it should impact every facet of his life. Brethren, it is tough to teach our children, let alone other people, if not completely impossible, that we believe in the Bible, that we believe in Christian living, when we do not apply the Word of God to our own personal lives. We will not be teaching our children what they need to know about God, let alone anyone else. And we might take on the name Christian, and we might have this wonderful looking facade about us, because we go to church and we go to Bible study and we do all this. But my daily life, the actions in which I'm engaging in from day to day, not just on Sunday and not just on Wednesday, but every day of my life, God's word, my love for Him, my respect for Him is going to permeate through my life. But only if I love Him and respect Him. Lois and Eunice were great mothers because they lived out what they believed. They owned their faith and they lived it out in their daily lives. And that took an impact upon Timothy. He saw that and he was challenged by that. Now, how many of us desire to instill that type of respect and that type of belief and that type of love on our children? And again, you're not going to do it if you're not doing it yourself. It's going to be extremely difficult. But I do believe that we can do this in one of two ways. One, verbally. Reading the Word of God, talking about the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're fools. We're deceiving ourselves if we think that's all it takes. If I think for just a minute or for the life of my parenting that all I need to do is tell my children to read their Bible or talk about God a little bit or let them see me reading the Bible a little bit, maybe even praying a little bit. If I think that's all it's going to take to make sure that my child stays faithful in the Lord, I'm fooling myself. Because there are a lot of people who claim to believe in Christ and God and say that they love Him, but they do not do what He has told them to do. So yes, we need to be verbally expressing our love for God, showing that in our daily lives. But I'm going to tell you, brother, we also need to allow others to see it living in us daily. It has to be who we are. Secondly, I would suggest to you that Lois and Eunice instilled an authentic faith in Timothy. And we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul writes, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." If there's nothing else you take away from this passage, take this away from it. Faith is not hereditary. Just because you believe in God and you're doing what God tells you to do doesn't mean automatically that your child is going to live that same life. They very well may disregard it altogether. Not that we want them to do that, but all the more reason that we impress upon each other the importance of not just talking about God's Word, but living it out. Teaching them, but also showing it applied in our daily lives. Faith is a learned trait. Faith must be demonstrated in the life of our children. Faith must be modeled in the life of our children. We want every single one of our children to own their faith, because we know for ourselves, but also for our children, that they're not going to get to heaven on mom and dad's faith or grandparents' faith. It is their faith. And we want them to own that faith. But they've got to see it lived out. They've got to see it learned. They've got to see it demonstrated. They've got to see it applied in their lives. Because in their formative years in the home, they are becoming a product of their environment. And if mom and dad are the biggest hypocrites there are, they go to church, but they're living a life of sin, do you really expect that child to gain a godly life and to be deeply impacted by the Scriptures, and to be everything that we want them to be in the faith, when I myself am failing them because I'm living in sin, or I'm playing around with sin? I'm not living it out the way that I ought to. The word here that really we should be focusing on is that word sincere. Because when related to faith, sincerity here does not mean hypocritical or hypocrisy. It means real. It means genuine. "For I am mindful of the genuine faith within you." You've owned it. It is yours. It's real. It has no pretense. It has no false front. There's no facade. It's genuine. That didn't happen by accident in Timothy's life. Such a faith had taken up residence in the heart of this mother and grandmother first. And they impressed that upon Timothy. When these two mothers were completely committed to Christ, His way, His truth, His life, they were drop-dead serious about Christianity. They were fully devoted and completely committed. You know, our theme for this year has been devoted to Christ. And we've looked at a lot of aspects in Acts chapter 2, what it means to be devoted. Lois and Eunice were those people, they were the ones devoted like those were in the first century with the day of Pentecost. And the best thing about that is that Timothy knew it. Timothy saw it. He saw what his mom and grandmother were living for. And that's how he was formed. That's how he grew up to be in the Lord. No one knows better, parents, than our children, whether our faith is genuine and pure or it's full of hypocrisy. Our children know it better than anyone else. And so if preachers or elders or teachers and parents, if we're serious about influencing others for Christ, we can't just go through the motions. We can't just say, I go to church because the others see in us, whether that is real or not. It says, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, seeing in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, I want you to follow me. And the reason for that is not because I'm Paul. I want you to follow me because I follow Christ. It is no longer me, but it's Christ living in me. So moms, listen to me this morning. Lois and Eunice made an impression upon Timothy. And the reason they did that is because they knew something. They knew that his soul was more important than his body or his clothes. It's not about the name brand kicks or the name brand jeans. It's not about making sure you have that popular image. No, they want to make sure that their child has the Christian image. The soul is more important. They knew that his eternal salvation was more important than his success in the business world. Well, I'm going to make sure that we put all these right things in before him so he becomes a successful businessman or this or that. But you know what? We failed him eternally. Not Lois and Eunice. They realized that his relationship with Jesus was more important than his popularity among his peers. They also realized that his standing before God was more important than his social status. It doesn't matter what Facebook friends think of you. It doesn't matter what Twitter says about you. It doesn't matter how many awesome pictures on Instagram you have. Because if you have not God, it doesn't matter how awesome and how popular you are in this world. Vanity. They also understood that his spiritual success was more important than any intellectual, musical, or athletic accomplishment. All those things are awesome in and of themselves. Gifts given by God, perhaps. Glory be given to him. But let me tell you something. If I'm a failure spiritually, and if I'm failing my child spiritually because I'm pushing them, more importantly, on any other area in their life, then don't be surprised when that takes precedence, when that becomes priority number one for them and not God. Do we want our children to be a spiritual success more than anything else? Because there is no doubt that Timothy's family environment was fertile for that. Based on what his mother and his grandmother were doing, his spiritual development, it had fertile ground to grow in. Lois and Eunice both held their faith deeply and shared it freely. And perhaps we should reflect upon our own homes. Reflect upon our own lives, our own influences, our own parenting. How fertile is the environment for our own families? Are our homes a fertile spiritual developing place? Third, I'd suggest to you that Lois and Eunice instilled a deep desire to minister and to serve. After Paul preached in Lystra and Timothy was converted, we see that Paul returns a short while later, and we move over to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, where we really pick up the story. And Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted this man to go with him. I would suggest to you here, three qualities that we find in Timothy that were no doubt in my mind passed down from his mother and his grandmother that caused him to be the disciple, to be the servant, to be the church member that Paul was so impressed with. First, we find that he was a disciple. Luke could have referred to him as a believer, as he did his mother. She was a disciple too. But there's importance. There's something to be pressed upon us in this reading that Paul was bringing out, or Luke rather, based on what Paul's saying. He could have been referred to as a Christian. He could have been referred to as something else other than a disciple, but Luke says he was a disciple. A disciple we know to be a learner and a follower. And that is what Timothy was. A disciple is one who will follow Jesus into serving other people. This is something that was obviously instilled in him. Secondly, I'd suggest to you that he had a good reputation. The believers in that area spoke well of him. He had impressed upon them the life that he was living. People knew him as a man of integrity. They knew him as a man of the Word of God. All learned traits well before Paul ever came into his life. But then thirdly, he was available. As we continue to read through the book of Acts, we see Timothy was eager to minister, to serve other people. He knew that ministering with Paul meant that I'm going to have to leave home, the comforts of everything that I've ever known, and to face hardship. He knew it meant placing an interest in the lives of other people more than his own. You know, sometimes the one thing that we miss out on in serving God is simply just being available. It says, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Some of us say, you know what, I'm too comfortable. I like what I'm doing. I like where I'm living. I like everything about my life right now. To disrupt that, to uproot that, to go anywhere else is such a disruption to my life and my flow. But what if God says, I need you over there? I need you to be involved in this and do these things. Is it of great inconvenience to us? Not if we love the Lord. Not if we're willing to serve Him faithfully as we ought to. Because we, like Isaiah, we, like Timothy, and we, like many others, should say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Moms and dads, there is no way this kind of commitment to ministry develops if it has not been taught and first encouraged in the home. If our children do not see our love for ministry, if our children do not see our love in serving other people, don't be surprised that our children have a selfish tenet about them. Don't be surprised that they feel inconvenienced when called upon to engage in ministry. Don't be surprised if they all together say, I'm not interested. And the reason why is perhaps because they saw it first in you. One of the most important jobs we have as God-fearing and God-abiding parents is that of instilling within our children the desire to minister and to serve others through Christ. Jesus said, I came to serve. I came to minister, not to be served and not to be ministered. Jesus said, I have shown you an example. I have washed your feet. You are to serve one another and you will be blessed if you do. Jesus said, as often as you do it unto these, you do it unto me. I hope and pray that we will be found serving and ministering and doing as Christ has done for us. Because if it was what Christ saw to be important, then it's something that we ought to see as being important as well. In conclusion, the lesson will be yours this morning. Our two mothers, Lois and Eunice, this morning have set for all of us, men included, an example to live by. May God bless our efforts to live the lives with the heart and the influence that we see in the lives of Lois and Eunice. But if you're here this morning, I would encourage you to join the most important family that there is. To allow the mothers in this congregation to be your mothers. The grandmothers to be like your grandmothers. To recognize, as Jesus even said, as he was told by those that were listening to him, look, there's your mother and brothers. He goes, this is my family. These are my mothers. This is my brothers. These who are in God. These I belong to. And he wasn't expressing a lack of love for his physical family, but he was showing the importance and pressing upon us the importance of our spiritual family. And you can be part of that spiritual family here this morning. You can become a child of God through faith and repentance and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. But perhaps you've been a part of this family for many years even. But this morning you sit here and you know there's sin in your life and you know there's things that you need to repent of. I would encourage you to confess that to God this morning. If it's between you and Him, go to Him in prayer and seek His forgiveness. If it is something that you've been engaging in a public way, let us help you. Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. But still, confess those sins to God and seek His forgiveness. If we can encourage you this morning, come now as together as we stand and sing.